The presenting sponsor of Moon Tower Soccer is FVF Law.
To find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, you can visit FVF.law.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Swoon Tower Soccer. My name is Mike Craniola.
And I'm Steph Craniola.
And we are all about the boys. This week, we will be doing our standard match Scott interviews, our pre-match fit checks, our rundown of our last couple of weeks of matches, standard social media standouts, the stuff that's happening kind of off the pitch. And then, as always, we'll be closing it off with Steph's Man of My Jersey segment. But first this week, we will be doing a special Swoon Tower spotlight with Anna Maria Liu from the City SC Report and Wannabe Fans podcast. Anna Maria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you back. You're our first repeat guest. You are our first guest and our first repeat. So
that's awesome.
We're excited. Yeah.
Yeah, you are our first of firsts twice. So that's pretty cool. Last time we talked, you know, we had kind of the start of the season question marks coming in here, but I think we are starting to see some teams round into form a little bit. There's still a lot of open questions kind of all over the place, right? But this week we are headed to the Stadium Under the Arches, Sunday at 3:45.
Donald, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I just, when you said it, there was just one arch in the notes intro.
Yeah.
And now it sounds like we're playing at McDonald's.
I guess there is only one arch in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
There's not a McDonald's in the stadium, is there?
No, there's not. All of our stadium is local food options.
Oh, great. Us too. Let's take that over then. And we will head to the Stadium Under the Arch to play the away leg of our season series with St. Louis. On Tuesday, the Moon Tower guys got to talk to Bradley Wright Phillips to preview the St. Louis match from the national perspective. And so we are so glad to have you back to talk more about the local perspective and kind of the insight that folks who, you know, at the national level may not be able to get into quite as much as the locals. So thank you again.
Yeah, no problem. It's been interesting. We've mostly had draws this entire season so far. It's been all draws, one win, one loss. And the only thing that I keep thinking of is if you've seen Ted Lasso, when they get sent the Thai food because they keep having ties. Mm-hmm. It's basically like that right now. That's how it feels. Not that they've been bad games, like the one that we just had this past Saturday. It was a great game. Lots of like opportunities and opportunities and opportunities, but both goalies were just on fire. And so it ended up in a 0-0 draw for us, which was not ideal, especially for a home game, but you know, it is what it is. It was fun to watch.
Good. Yeah. We have been struggling on our side with the draw monster as well. Although we are coming off two wins in a row here. And so looking to make a win streak for the first time in a very long time here is Austin FC as they travel up to St. Louis this weekend.
And I'm hoping that doesn't happen, obviously.
So, you know, historically, the team has been known as kind of a high press, high intensity style in the national media. We talked about how your take on that is that when everything's firing right, that is true.
Yeah.
On the season, how is that playing out for y'all?
I think it's different. I think it's a lot different, especially this past game against FC Dallas. Because I think this is one of the few times where we had like 66% possession throughout the entire game, which is not typical for our team at all. And so we were, I don't know what you call that, but it was very much like we just kind of kept controlling the ball, but very, very slowly and glacially going forward. And it was not as opportunistic, but it was lots more control, I think. But I don't know what this is going to look like going forward, because I think this is the first game of the season that's really looked like that. And I don't know if that's a shift on Bradley Carnell's end or if that's a shift on like just what we were given with FC Dallas, if that makes sense. So I'm not sure if that's going to continue or not, but it was just interesting to watch because we were watching the statistics throughout the game. I was in the press box so I could have my laptop up and just look at things. And it was wild how many shots were taken. And just the goalies kept being able to defend the entire time. So
here in Austin, when we control possession for that long without a lot of action on it, it has earned the moniker the Horseshoe of Sadness.
Oh my God.
As you kind of pass the ball around on the outside, right? Yep. And are just sad the whole time.
I can see that. I could feel a little bit of that on Saturday, just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and how do you, just seeing how they've played, like seeing that shift, how do you think that based on our first match of the season, do you think that they'll stick to previously their game plan against Austin? Do you think that, I mean, I know it's hard to predict, but how do you think they're going to approach Austin this weekend specifically?
Yeah, because it does sound a lot like FC Dallas did what Austin made St. Louis do, right? That first Austin St. Louis match, y'all had 61% possession. Y'all had 17 shots.
Yeah.
And still walked away with a draw with us, right? So
yep.
Who are the most important players? Like, who are the key players that are going to really affect this Austin match this weekend?
Okay, so we have Edvard Leuven back who's one of our midfielders who takes a lot of our like corner kicks and other shots for us on the pitch. And he was just seen practicing with the team today. So hopefully he'll be back on Sunday. He's been out for a couple of weeks for unspecified issues. And then Celio Pompeo is like basically my favorite player this season still. I mean, you got Berkey, and Berkey is Berkey, and he's, you know, a great goaltender. But then like Celio is just so much fun to watch, where he's just, when he starts for us, I feel like we have a different energy than when he just comes on later. So it's a lot more fun when he's out there. So I'm hoping that he starts on Sunday. And then probably the other player that I was actually very impressed with this past Saturday was Thomas Ostrak, who's another midfielder of ours. So these are all three midfielders. And Ostrak was just like everywhere all the time and just like constantly setting up opportunities for people this past Saturday. So I'm kind of hoping that he gets some time this Sunday as well.
Cool. And I'm unfamiliar. Where in the midfield do Celio Pompeo and Thomas Ostrak play?
Okay, like, for the last match, Ostrak was on the right and Celio was on the left.
Okay, and they play kind of attacking midfield positions?
Yes.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's at least how they were playing on Saturday. I know that there's been like switch-ups in our midfield a lot with like who's kind of doing what win, or at least it feels that way or it looks that way when you're watching, but that's what it was this past Saturday.
Yeah, I'm really curious for that as well, because our midfield, especially since the last time we played y'all, has looked very different in the past couple of matches. And we're suspecting that Josh Wolf will keep the midfield we've had for the past two wins, right? Do I change a thing if it's working? So I think looking at the combination of last time we had Johan Valencia and Alex Ring in the midfield, and we've been seeing a lot more of Danny Pereira in the last couple starts. So I'm curious to see how that, you said that Celio is a fun, energetic player. And
yes.
I think Danny brings a lot of that for us as well. So I think it'll be cool to see that matchup. If they both start.
Yeah.
How that plays out.
So how has your midfield changed over the past like couple of games, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So one of the big keys for us has been getting Sebastian Driussi back.
Yeah.
He had been injured for the entire start of the season. Having your de facto number 10 back in your team can be a really big boost, especially when that guy was, you know, a 2022 MVP finalist and, you know, puts up the numbers and can control the game the way that Driussi can when he's on. We've seen a lot of him on the ball the last couple of matches while he's been fit and active again. So with him back in kind of that leadership space. Alex Ring hasn't had to slide up into that position or have Diego Rubio drop back into that position, meaning we can play like a first choice 11.
Right. I think pushing Diego Rubio up front into striker has been a big, I mean, he is a ball of fire. And so I think having him back in the midfield wasn't, whether it was just communication between him and Alex Ring and then Valencia, who were there when we played St. Louis, whether that just wasn't working and they weren't gelling, or just the general age of the players when we see Danny Pereira out there with Owen Wolf on the wing and Jader Obrien on the wing rather than seeing Ethan Finley out there. Like, it just, I don't know if just general age of the players up on our front line has been meshing better, or yeah, personalities. I don't know what it is, but there's something that a lot of these players are only a little bit versatile when we've needed them to be super versatile.
Yeah, I think the connective tissue between the back line and our attacking band in that St. Louis match especially was really suffering, because when you have Alex Ring and Johan Valencia back there trying to build out, they're not skilled in the way that Danny Pereira is in being able to do that. The way that Danny can dribble out of pressure, it allows us to play more of our game against a team that's going to press us really hard the way St. Louis does. And so I would be disappointed not to see Danny back there. But I know that if the plan going into St. Louis is to concede possession and then hit on the counter, right, there's a chance that we might see Johan back there instead of Danny.
That's interesting. I'm excited to see how it pans out, actually, because I unfortunately have to work right at the time that the game starts. I wish it were like 2 hours later, because then I would be off work. So my whole plan this weekend is to just ignore everything. Sunday night, go home, watch it for myself online, and just pretend like I didn't miss it, you know? But I'm excited, because I think we have a chance of winning this one and actually posting a win. So it's like, it'll feel good, because as I was walking out of the stadium on Saturday, I heard people being like, why were the tickets so expensive? Because, you know, everything has always sold out. Everything's been like hiked up prices for the team, especially after last year. And people were like, why are they so expensive when we just got a draw? No one even scored. And I'm like, ooh, I don't think you're a soccer fan typically, if that's what you're saying. But it was pretty funny kind of walking out and hearing that versus some of the other chatter that I've heard walking out of the stadium like this past season. So
yeah, that second year hits real different.
Yeah. Yeah. But people know what to do about us now. So it's different. It's different.
Yeah. And I know earlier you had mentioned how important Berkey is to your team.
Yeah.
It seems like, at least from the outside, and maybe this is because of just stats not telling the whole story, right? But he's sitting on a 56% save percentage right now, and he's giving up about 1.6 goals per 90. Is there concern in St. Louis, or is it like a combination of small sample size and defensive issues that aren't on the keeper?
I feel like it's probably both of the latter in some ways, because I really haven't heard any concern whatsoever. Not so far, at least. I think if it continues, then yes, there will be some concern. But I think that even this last match against FC Dallas, it was very much a like, oh no, that's why we have him. Because he carried the team in that match for us not to lose, basically. I think in some of the previous games I've seen, there were some issues with defense because Tim Parker was out for a while.
Got it. Okay.
For a couple of games. And he's such a leader among like our defense that when he's out, I think we really feel it. I think we really feel it.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, you mentioned earlier also that there was a lot of roster competition. There were a lot of fighting for your spot. Is that something that's shaken out into more consistency, or what's that bench looking like for y'all?
So I think that it's kind of I think it's still being played with in some ways. And you can kind of just see that with the starting lineups that different people are being given these opportunities. And we have different people rotating through our bench pretty frequently. I know some of that's been like injury based, but then on top of that, I just kind of wonder, I'm going to actually talk negatively about one of our players because I think that they're not doing as well this season as they were last season. And I'm kind of wishing that they were rotated off of our starting lineup right now. And that's Joao Klaus, who was I don't feel like he's been playing as well. And I don't know if it's just that he doesn't have the synergy with some of the other players that he kind of started with last year that were different. He's had one goal and it was a penalty kick. That was it. So it's very much like, I don't feel like he's been controlling the opportunities that he's been given or making the right decisions when he has the ball. And sometimes I see it and I'm just like, oh, I don't know if that's the right choice there. And I don't feel like teams are putting additional pressure on him. There was a point last season where I felt like people were, you know, putting additional pressure on him because he was so good. And at this point in time, I'm just kind of like, I'd rather see anyone else start up front than him. Like maybe he comes on later. I don't know. Not necessarily a professional opinion, but very much a something I've heard repeated throughout other places as well from the fan base.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that makes independent local media so valuable is that it's not a mouthpiece for the club, right?
Yeah.
Having that take and being able to back that up is part of what makes your role so important and so valuable. And so,
and especially so valuable to us because it's not the front office that's listening to this. Like it's our fan base.
Yeah.
To this, and I think having those insights is really important.
Yeah. So I don't ever want any of our guests to feel like, you know, putting a foot wrong in this podcast is not
that's true,
you know, especially true. For our audience, if there's an undercurrent of like Joao Klaus is underperforming, that is exactly the stuff that we're trying to find out, for people when they're watching this, right? Because a lot of us know Joao Klaus as being just this dominant, like, beast of a player in the highlights, right? Or in the goal totals from last year, or in the way that he terrorizes us. But if there's an undercurrent where you're like, he's not getting it done right now, that's like really interesting stuff for us to watch out for on Sunday. So
yeah, and I think that might be something that you see depending on who starts. I'm hoping that we have other people up front, like Sam Adeniran is probably like my favorite forward that we've got right now, because I think that he gels well with the other players a little differently than Klaus does, but we'll see, because that's not under my control. So I'll find out. I'll find out an hour ahead, just like you guys do.
Yeah. And then someone who to me jumped out as like really impactful in a short amount of time when they played us recently was Rasmus Alm. Is he back?
He's back, but I think they're taking it easy because he's like, he played this past Saturday, but he played for just the first half, I think. And then he was rotated off, but he was injured for like a lot of last year. He had something severe. I think it was like a groin injury of some kind. And he was out basically the entire season. He's back. I haven't really seen enough of him to really have too much of an opinion because it seems like they're still limiting his time that he's out.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Anytime a team that wants to attack the way St. Louis does can bring in like really strong midfielders to back up their players that are out makes me really nervous. And so personally kind of glad to hear that he's still on the mend and not quite up to full fitness.
Yeah, so I guess like the last question I have is, what do y'all got to do to win? What's the key to St. Louis victory this weekend?
I think we either need to play the way that we like to with the high press, which we haven't been able to do as much recently, or we have to adapt to the situation that we're being given and actually just try to play differently with as much possession as we have. I think those are the only two ways ahead. I don't think that there's some magical third option that they can pull out. And I don't know if we can adapt. So I'm hoping that the normal high press situation works for us, because we're really good at getting draws when we have the possession. That's about it. So I want to win though.
Yeah. And what is the coach saying to questions about that right now?
Yeah. From what I've seen from like the post game stuff, it hasn't been particularly negative about the team. More like we just kind of need to move on and keep looking ahead. So not very specific in my opinion.
Cool. Yeah. That's one of the like big frustrations here in town is with our coaches dismissing of media questions around form, right? And so
yeah,
trying to find out if that's a MLS universal truth or if
I think it might be. It's like it's not so much that we get like refusal to answer questions. They're just answered in a way that make it so that you don't necessarily get an answer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Non-answer answers.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time again to sit and chat with us. We're really looking forward to this weekend. We won't text you any spoilers until you've had a chance to get home and watch it. We promise.
Yeah. I'll let you know. I will let you guys know as soon as I sit down and watch it. And hopefully I don't get too many updates on my phone. I might have to turn them off because I get the automatic updates from MLS, you know?
Yeah, so you'll have to disable those. Turn off all notifications.
Just for a couple hours.
Yeah. It's a real exercise in screen addiction breaking.
Yes.
So good luck. And thank you again so much for being with us. Can you tell people again where they can find you?
Sure. You can find us on any place you get podcasts at Wannabe Fans or City SC Report. I don't contribute to the City SC Report podcast. I do contribute to their website, citysc.report.com. So that's where you can find me and the different projects that I support.
Thank you so much, Anna Maria.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Anna Maria for coming back and talking about our upcoming match with St. Louis City this weekend. We are hoping for the best for everyone.
Everyone that's us. Yeah. We appreciate her time, but you know.
Let's get those 3 points.
That's right. Let's get that dub.
All right. Let's also get into dogs.
Yeah.
Animals.
Animals this week. Yeah. So, Steph, you previewed this.
Mm-hmm. I gave a little hint.
Yeah. So it was pretty special.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Frisco came to town, and with Frisco came two special guests.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Mako.
Absolutely incredible dog. What a wonderful animal. Ugh.
What a love.
Yeah. Mako is really sweet. We'll let him speak for himself.
Yeah, of course. We should.
Hi, Mako. Oh, my goodness. You're so perfect. We've got a couple of questions for you, okay?
Mako, first off, I just wanted to know, who do you think is the most able to hold you when you're when you're on walks together?
Great answer. Okay, Mako, my question for you. Now, I have it on very good authority that older pitties love snuggling on the couch. Who on Austin FC do you want to snuggle with the most? Oh, thank you so much. He's my pick, too. Can we get Alistos Verde? Thank you, Mako.
Oh, 10 billion, I don't know, nose wiggles.
Oh, God, he's so perfect.
I'm running out of things to rate dogs with.
Yeah, I get it. They only have so many body parts.
Well, I love them all.
Yeah. Mako is amazing, but not the star of the show.
Honestly.
For me this week.
So we here at Swoon Tower take our job very seriously. And when there is a new interview candidate to be interviewed,
We're reaching out.
We're making those connections. We're making it happen.
We're doing the work.
Absolutely massive thank you to Gisella from Austin FC for connecting us up with Speed Bump.
Yeah. We got to talk to an actual celebrity, an actual armadillo.
Y'all, have you ever touched an armadillo? It's the weirdest thing I've ever done in my life.
And one of the coolest.
Yeah.
I will say that I read a review of touching an armadillo online where they called it warm scab.
Yeah.
And that's real.
It's not too far off.
But also so cuddly.
Yeah, I was really surprised, honestly, because when we got to, so we got to not just interview Speed Bump, but hold Speed Bump as well. And when I held Speed Bump, and it sounds like Mike had the same experience, he just kind of like crawled his way to the corner, like the nook of my arm, and then just down.
Yeah.
Just relaxed into my arms, and I wanted to cry.
It was so cute. Anyway, we got to talk to Speed Bump and ask him the questions that we all know you want to hear. So let's cut to that interview.
Hi, Speed Bump. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. We've got a couple questions for you. And my first one is, if you could revive one act at the Armadillo World Headquarters, what would it be? Good answer.
Oh, yeah, me too. Speed Bump, I wanted to know, what is your skincare routine? You look beautiful tonight.
Wow! Okay, I'm gonna try that. All right, can you give us at least dos verde, Speed Bump? Thank you so much! I'm gonna give Speed Bump like 10 billion of those weird little hairs that come out of his nose.
Oh my gosh, so weirdly hairy. Yeah. Also so soft under, like on the underbelly part.
Yeah.
Wild.
So wild. Thank you so much to Speed Bump and to Swift for letting us hang out and talk to Speed Bump.
Yeah. And Austin FC for having an armadillo at the match.
Yep. Also, we did make sure that Speed Bump is well taken care of. He's not around noise. He's not around light. Basically, the match halftime is his wake up for when it's night. Because I was pretty worried about Speed Bump's little eyes and little ears.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that's just like, talk about a morning alarm clock. Halftime in Q2.
Yeah. DJ Peligrosa.
Yeah.
I'm changing the alarm for tomorrow morning to Peligrosa.
Oh, no. All right. And then last week, we also got to talk to the drooliest dog I've ever met at Austin FC, Jax. Oh, hey, Jax, we've got some questions for you, okay? My first question is, these matches against San Jose are some of our spiciest all season. Who would you choose of our boys to protect you? Good answer.
All right, Jax, a real quick one here, buddy. I want to know, what's your favorite snack out of peanuts, popcorn, and crackers, Jax?
Good answer. Okay, Jax, can we get Alistos Verde? Thank you.
I love Jax.
8 million liters of drool.
That's where I was going. Yep. honestly, the drooliest dog we've gotten to talk to yet.
We had treats in our hand. And Jax was like rooting around in our hands. I think my whole hand was in Jax's mouth during this interview because he just wanted those treats so bad and it was so wet.
I will say this. Jax was not as wet as poor Poyo's dad was when I kicked over his beer.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
You did do that.
Very sorry. Don't worry. I bought a replacement beer. I'm a stand-up guy. Just like anyone that adopts Jax. Is a stand-up person and so lucky.
So lucky.
What a
Go
good dog.
Check out that dog and bring him home because
click the links in the show notes for Mako and Jax. And while you're there, keep browsing.
Yeah.
Steph, can we talk about some outfits?
I would love nothing more than to talk about some outfits.
I loved pretty much every outfit for FC Dallas. I think everyone looked so good.
I really like that Seba is just wearing a NASA sweatshirt.
So
with a half-tucked collar? Like, is it a fashion NASA sweatshirt?
It is. So this is a big shout-out to Moises, who is doing a lot of work with Phil West on the Verde All Day Substack right now. In the post-game locker room conversations, he was able to get down to the bottom of this outfit, and turns out it is a, like, Japanese designer. Like, it is couture. Like, this is all one piece. This hoodie, sweatshirt, or not sweatshirt, I guess it's like a t-shirt. It's like a multiple layer t-shirt with like a button up underneath it, and they are all stitched together into one piece.
Okay,
that is this final product.
Well, it says space and I love it.
Well, it says NASA.
Well, like it says, like it, like the vibe is
sure. Safe. Oh, I see. Yeah.
I also want to give a massive shout out. Second week in a row, Brad Stuver has one of my favorite pre-match fits. This like really sleek black jeans, black t-shirt, and this like almost army green jacket.
Yeah, he's going business. Like he means business in this one.
I love it.
I think the like prep school Diego Rubio fit here with the Austin FC sweater or sweatshirt around his neck.
This is not the first time that Diego Rubio has worn something tied around his neck. It's his style.
I know. I think this one is the best one of it.
Sure.
I like that the sweater matches the shoes. As always, that is a win in my book.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about Johan Valencia's pants.
Listen, you never know when it's going to rain.
Okay, we're done talking about Johan Valencia's pants.
Here's the deal. As a man that loves to cuff his jeans, I see what's going on.
Mm.
I like it.
I have a question.
Is it about whether Julio is wearing zip-off cargo shorts?
Oh, no.
That is what I want to talk about. I'm pretty sure those are those shorts or those pants that turn into shorts with the zippers on them.
Yeah, I see. You know, you never know when it's going to rain.
Fair enough.
My question was, is Julio wearing one earring or is that like an exit sign behind him?
The world's largest earring?
Yeah.
I mean,
because I don't see it in the other photos. There are a couple like.
Yeah,
in the other side, like
maybe he is.
And in Hader's, it kind of looks like it might be an open door behind him.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. And in Brad's, there's the little exit sign. So maybe it is an exit sign, but
I'm choosing to believe that Julio is wearing one earring and it looks dope as heck.
I want to believe that is a gigantic earring. as my Lord and Savior, Fox Mulder, would say, I want to believe.
All right, let's move to San Jose Fits.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to get right into it.
Yeah, let's just keep going. Let's keep going to outfits. Julio,
keep looking at these clothes.
Plus, this plaid vesty jacket, like over vest. Oh, I love it.
He looks like a Bash brother from D2.
Yes. Oh, he needs a headband. Remember 2.5 years ago when I said all I want in this world is for our center backs to be Bash brothers? And then we got the year of Julio and Ruben.
Yeah.
And they were. And it made my dreams come true.
Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out to @ Katie Ward on Insta, who I have so many questions about the bags. Same.
All of us are with you. Austin FC media team, if you have anything to do with anything,
y'all know what
you
gotta
do. Show us what's in the bags.
You know what you gotta do. Just show us what's in the bags. Look, I'm just saying, can we talk about Danny's shirt?
We have so many things to talk about with these fits. So yes, let's talk about Danny's velour t-shirt.
Yeah. What an
choice.
Insane choice. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that Alex and Brad are straight up matching.
Matchy matchy.
Yep.
Twins. Hey, bro. Hey, bro, you gonna wear the denim jacket today?
And I love that, like, all of the imagery for Alex is him on the phone. and Brad is the most responsible adult, so he definitely answers the phone if it rings. So, like, Alex ring, call him up. Brad answering.
I wonder if they're in a group text together.
Ooh, I also wonder that.
I'm so curious.
I really like Ethan Finley's, like, lilac polo. His golf shirt, really bringing the dad energy in.
I'm really proud of you.
Why?
Because you didn't call that color khaki.
Why would I call it khaki? It's
lilac. Because you call every other color khaki.
No, that's clearly a purple tone. Jeez, I have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not good. But Giassi, I'm watching this video on loop, which is where I'm coming from. Giassi, I think I own the same shirt.
You do.
So I would love to ring him up.
Yeah, he needs to text you next time he wants to wear it.
Exactly. We can be matchy-matchy. I've got that color jeans.
Yep.
So, Jesse, let's go.
Although you can tell that he is coming straight from mowing the lawn with those shoes.
Oh, I can't do that. That's not fair. I can't mow the lawn. I'm too allergic. The other thing I wanted to call out from this set is Adam Klink on Instagram, who tagged John Gallagher and said, "Do we need to go shopping so they will put you in these photos?" There really has been a lack of galley in the fit check photos.
Yeah, there's got to be something to that.
Yeah, maybe it's because his fits aren't great. Do we have to go shopping? That's the question we all want to know.
Great.
What's
question.
In the bag, and can we go shopping with galley?
Speaking of shopping, actually, when the refs were finally getting paid again, I don't know if I've told the story on here, but I was out at the outlets shopping to buy myself that sweet Verde zip-up that I've been so desperate to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Brendan Heinzeich, and he was very kind and very nice and super, like, excited to talk about this Dallas match that was coming up. He was like, "Hey, man, you going to the game?" I was like, you know I'm going to be there. I'm never going to miss a game, especially not against Dallas, because the match moods are always right.
Mm-hmm.
And this was no joke.
No.
What a game.
What a game. We've got some, I guess we're going right into match moods, but like from start to finish, the vibes were immaculate. When the refs came out, we didn't see it, but we got it on good report from Andrew Urban, that when the refs came out onto the pitch during warmups, that they clapped the supporters.
Yeah, I saw a video of it after the fact. Oh, really, really moving.
It's just so cool.
When Andrew told us about it with tears in his eyes, I had to find the video, and it was just really special. So yeah, we're really glad here in the Swoon Tower House that the actual refs are back, even if, you know, they
well,
make
now
calls.
We can yell at the real ones for
doing
their job.
We can yell at professional adults.
Yes.
Speaking of professional adult.
Julio. Man, I love how spicy Julio gets sometimes. He is 100% bought in on the supporter section. And when Diego Rubio got fouled at one point during the Dallas match, he just like kept the supporters going, like kept waving for them to keep yelling to get that noticed. And it was just wonderful.
Yeah, there was a lot of interaction with the crowd. At one point, Brad Stuver checked back with the crowd to make sure that they all saw Hot Air like take that shot. And like when he missed, you know, he was still like, "Yeah, let's go.
You all see that?"
It was really, really cute and like super supportive. You could tell that everyone at that point was pulling for Hot Air to get his goal.
Yep.
We will have more on that.
More on that next.
In this match, I start to wonder, is Hot Air Obreon cursed? The number of times he's just barely offside or just barely misses, or all of a sudden something happens, right? And we'll talk about that in the San Jose match as well. But it just seems like someone, a wizard on a mountaintop somewhere is cursing hot air, and I don't know
why. One of Paul Pogba's witches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I noticed was a little bit later in the match, my guy, Brendan Heinzeich, having a heck of a game, playing really, really well out there. There's a shift in the defensive, like, organization, and hot air thinks he's being subbed off. And so he, or sorry, Brendan thinks he's being subbed off. And so he looks at Josh Wolf like, me? Like, he is shocked in the moment because he's like, playing pretty well.
Yep.
And the coaching staff had to be like, no, dog, not you.
not you.
You're staying out.
Yeah. I just really love the energy that a derby like this brings, because when we were singing the F Dallas,
The Copa Tejas.
The Copa Tejas song. The Copa Tejas anthem. Brad is like nodding along in the goal to it, and just like kept the crowd hype through the last couple of minutes of the match. Like, he did not let that energy drop.
Yeah. And honestly, we needed to make sure that the energy stayed high so that we could see out that result.
Oh my God. We needed it. Yeah. And then getting to see their joy at the end, finally, right? Like, I know that Brad especially feels these matches so deeply. Like, you can just see it at the end of every loss or every draw. Like, you can see how deeply he feels it. And then to see his joy at the end of this, to watch him somersault, like, do a forward roll up to Hector's kids during the Man of the Match drum. Like,
so cute.
Just that joy was so needed and so appreciated to see. Like,
it was weird. It was a little weird after the Man of the Match drum when we started to play I Love You Verde and sing it to the, like, the team, seeing the newer folks on the team not know, and like having people who had been here a while have to teach them, like, no, it's cool to like loosen up now and like have a good time and soak this in. It was just so, it was a moment.
Yeah, it's wild, because I didn't really think about that. Some of them just haven't had a win.
Seen us win.
Ooh, anyway, let's talk about another win.
Yeah.
San Jose, my favorite match of the year.
Yeah.
And I was not disappointed.
No, what a spicy one. Just the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, right from the jump, we had just really spicy challenges and like a lot of trash talking, and
I really thought Owen was going to get into a fight at one point. Like, I really thought like someone was going to throw hands. And that's one of my favorite things about soccer, is that like it always gets to like 99% and no one ever actually throws the punch, which is nice because I don't want anyone to get hurt, but like I want to feel like they might.
Yeah, the moment that jumps out in my mind was at one point, Kikanovic pushes Danny from behind, and Owen runs like halfway across the field to get in his face about it. And it was just like, yeah, that's your friend.
Yeah.
Nobody pushes my friend. You know, it just felt like really good.
Yeah, we're getting into social media standout territory, but there was that tweet about Owen and Danny's stats from the San Jose match, and Danny retweeted it with like, my partner. Yeah, that partner. Was what he said. And it just is so sweet to, again, see them enjoy it.
Speaking of enjoying it, Julio, as always, enjoys a San Jose match.
Yes.
Direct quote from a source at the team: Julio does too much sometimes. I disagree.
I also disagree. Strong disagree here.
Yeah, I think Julio does just enough, including when he was pushing Jeremy Abobisi and then Christian Espinoza off the pitch just when they were being subbed out.
Hands on his shoulders, scooting him out.
Just full on, get out of here.
And it's so funny, too, because like knowing that they were pushing for that time wasting, and then us winning because of that, like, extra time. Yeah. Just, chef's kiss. So good.
We did get another spicy Brad Stuver moment in this match.
This is the thing. Julio and Brad, San Jose. It's the two of them.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. There's something in the water when San Jose comes to town. And Brad had that spicy, spicy challenge for the yellow card. We are recording this Thursday night here because I was not sure if this would be retroactively a red card.
That's right.
But I think at 11:49 p.m., I can safely say,
careful,
hopefully.
Knock on wood. Yeah, that was wild. I went back and watched it like on loop over and over and over.
And like, I like the way San Jose plays.
Yes.
I think a team with that much well housing is something that I can get behind in concept.
Yeah.
Except when it's against us.
Well, but I like to see that we match it when it's against us. And that's what I think is really fun about San Jose, is that we match their vibe.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. I also like winning.
Yeah.
And it was really cool when we won to see La Murga just keep playing. I mean, they went another like 5 minutes after the...
Yeah, the Felice at the end. Like, and that's not an easy one for those folks to be doing with the jumping.
No.
Like, that jumping is hard, and it went a long time. Mm-hmm. And everyone, like, no one wanted to let go of that feeling, and it was so exciting and
so
cool.
I can't imagine anyone in the supporter section had a voice on Sunday. I barely had a voice on Sunday, and I was just in our section.
Yeah, what a great match. We were really fortunate to bring some really great friend of ours to the match, mm-hmm. and have them get to experience an absolutely wild game.
Yeah.
So the last note that I have on match moods is kind of the like middle ground between match moods and social media standouts.
Yep.
We got a visual of the match ball speech,
mm-hmm.
where Josh Wolf awarded the match ball to Seba, who like did captain stuff and was like, no, this one goes to Haider O'Brien. Ugh. And just watching the new guys learn the culture of the team around, mm-hmm. okay, I get the match ball, now I have to make a speech, and like everybody's gonna like give me a little bit of guff about it. And it was just really cute and really sweet to see.
Super wholesome.
Back-to-back weeks, right, of new guys getting that match ball. So.
Yes. Speaking of Haider, I really need to get into Selly ratings.
Yes. Can we take an ad break?
Yeah. Swoon Tower Soccer is brought to you by our friends at FVF Law, the official injury lawyers of Austin FC.
FBF is a different kind of personal injury law firm dedicated to community, transparency, and client education. And they have their own podcast called Summary Judgment. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
You can go to fbf.law to find out what makes FBF a different kind of injury law firm and why understanding your legal options can dramatically change the outcome of a case.
Once again, that's fbf.law.
fbf.law.
Our premier sponsor is McGuire Woods Consulting, helping clients in the public affairs space from lobbying at the local, statewide, and federal levels to digital and communications campaigns across the country.
McGuire Woods Consulting has offices in 10 MLS cities, but only advertises on this podcast because it's the home of the two-time reigning Copa Tejas champions, which is the most important trophy in professional sports. Contact our friends at McGuire Woods Consulting at www.mwcllc.com for more information.
That's mwcllc.com.
mwcllc.com.
All right, let's talk about Selly's.
All right, let's start at Frisco. I'm going to talk about the Julio Selly because I...
Weird, why?
No reason. So Julio kind of ran out with his arms to the north end. Seba jumped on him in a piggyback. He did his heart hands. It's like, I love Julio. I don't think Julio ever expects, even though it, 9 times out of 10, less lately, but most of the times out of 10, any corner kick is going straight to his head.
Yeah.
Right? So he should expect to score some goals, but it's like he never actually expects it. He's always surprised by scoring a goal. So I, Julio, would like to challenge you to come up with maybe an individual Selly, a Selly that says, I'm Julio Cascante and I score goals.
Yeah, put a gigantic earring on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow, okay. Y'all, you know my rating for this one. You know it's a 9.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so happy. every goal against Frisco is a better goal than against anyone else. And that means every celebration against Frisco is better than any other celebration. All right. The next goal we have isn't a goal, but I really wanted to talk about poor Hot Air O'Brien.
Yeah.
He runs over, thinking he's scored, runs over to the fans. He's celebrating with the crowd over near that little section where all the families sit, giving high fives. And then he's interrupted by the Frisco bench, center back Omar Gonzalez letting him know, hey, dog, that goal was called offside.
Yeah, he did do a really rad knee slide, though. Yeah. It wasn't an Ethan Finley level.
No.
But it was pretty good.
It was a really good knee slide. He's celebrating with everybody. The kids are super close. He's like high-fiving folks. And then he finds out the bad news.
Yeah.
Tough goal.
Tough goal to get called back. 0 out of 10.
Yeah, because it's not a goal.
And then we've got Diego's hands to his ears. He really, maybe he has some trouble hearing, but it always seems like he needs to amplify it. You know, maybe we should be
louder for him in that moment.
What I'm taking from it.
Sure.
Louder, I mean, for Diego.
Always.
Then he does his little fist bumps, his hugs. It's like a 6 out of 10.
Wow.
It's like, it's fine.
It is a goal against Frisco, celebrating the winning goal against Frisco. That is a 9.5 out of 10 celly.
I just think if we want him to do a better celly, we need to be louder so he can hear us in the first place.
So that he doesn't have to worry about asking
exactly,
for more.
Exactly.
All right.
Moving to San Jose. Do you want to start with this one or do you want me to?
I want to.
Okay.
So in the moment, this is the greatest goal celebration that has ever existed.
Literally ever.
Of Verde All Day behind us screams. That's the most Swoon Tower thing I've ever seen in my life, because Hot Air O'Brien bangs in a goal, runs over to the corner, grabs his baby out of the audience, holds it up like Simba and screams, "Vamos!" Like, and then he gets a little head smooch from Diego Rubio. Like, everything about this moment is perfect.
Perfect.
This is a 10 out of 10 celebration. Even for me, he didn't even go upside down. 10 out of 10.
10
out of 10.
10 out of 10. Baby Selly, 10 out of 10. Everyone who's putting this ball under their jersey, terrible baby Selly.
Just pull a baby out of the crowd.
Just get the baby.
Pick
get
one.
The baby.
Even
yeah, get
if it's
up
not
any
yours.
Baby.
Hold your wife up above your head while she's pregnant.
Literally.
Like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. I'll have the time of my life.
Listen, when this gets called back for a foul, I am convinced that Hot Air O'Brien is cursed by witches.
Mm-hmm.
Convinced. There's
Call
no
it
stopping it.
Yeah. Still but a 10 out of 10. Even though it wasn't a goal, this one's a 10 out of 10.
It's a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Which means...
Oh my God, we're reset. Oh my God, the counter's reset. Oh my God,
he's
going to do it for real.
Gets to be reset.
Oh,
the
bless.
Whole structure of
bless.
The Swoon Tower Selly rating, like, phenomenon here.
Thank you, Paul
can be
Pogba,
recalibrated.
Your witches and Hot Air O'Brien's child.
So Hot Air O'Brien may be cursed, but I am free.
Free.
To
I
give
free.
A non-9.5 celebration.
Thank God. Okay.
If I want to.
All right, well, let's test it. We've got Seba on a penalty kick. Now, this is tough. This is a really tough one because we're 0-2 right now, and all they're thinking of is getting back in the game. Seba gives a little, like, a little hand to the supporter section, runs straight back to the midfield.
And then, on his way back getting the ball, he does a spicy little head rub on William Yarbrough.
Does he? Is
and
that what that hand
up
was?
His hair.
I thought that hand was just like a little like a little wave at the supporter section.
He tussles William Yarbrough's
no.
hair as he's picking up the ball. It is a
oh my, I just rewatched it, y'all. It is that. Oh my God. 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I know I just said that I'm resetting this goal celly situation.
Oh, no. Not going to happen.
It's against San Jose and it's so spicy. How do you not give this at least a 9?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a 9
to
me. It's a 9 to me.
I'll meet you at a 9. I mean, you had a 9. You know what else is a 9, though?
Honestly.
Honestly.
This is the worst part.
No, because it's not a 9.5 for you, so that's fine.
Okay.
9, I'll take. Hot Air's first actual goal.
Let's go.
Hot Air and Johan Valencia doing a little samba.
Doing that little baile, Colombiano. Oh, the whole team runs over to celebrate with him because the curse is lifted. The curse is reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Oh, it's such a good one. Oh, also a 9. Because both of their smiles are just so gigantic and so pure, and they're so happy with each other in the moment.
Yep. And I just love, like, I love when our players have friends, right? Like,
yeah.
They are friends with their teammates is what I was going with. But, like, ugh, what a beautiful thing. They're a little dance. They're a little joy.
Yep. Just truly special. Really, really fun.
Yeah.
That's a 9 for me as well.
Yeah. And then we have another. Oh, my God. There were so many goals.
There
this
were
game.
So many
so
goals.
Good.
What a great game.
Biru, he runs all the way down to celebrate with the fans along the long side of the field. So many high fives. Goes all the way to the family section, all the way to Brad to give him a big hug. Like, you want to talk about wasting miles.
Honestly, this is a full run. It's a really good one.
But it's also such a beautiful goal.
Oh, God.
And watching, also one of my favorite things is watching Diego Rubio celebrate that goal.
Yes.
He just, like, stops and, like, prays, right? Like, he just is so invested in every moment of these games.
Yeah. His arms go up.
Mm-hmm.
Biru's arms go up. All of San Jose falls to their knees in this moment. So sad.
No, not yet. Do they in that one as well? Because they do at the end.
Yes. They do twice. 3 times in this game. Because when they come back, they fall to their knees in celebration.
Oh, I see.
It's like,
there's so much knees. They
there's
love.
So much emotion in these games.
Yeah.
These two teams. Oh.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, the Brad Stuver hug at the opposite side of the field. I love that they're so, like, homies.
Yeah.
I think that's so cute.
Yeah.
That's a 9.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8 because I think that there is something to be said for saving a little bit of energy so that maybe if the game is tied back up.
That couldn't happen.
Later.
That couldn't happen in the San Jose game.
A little bit of juice to go on to the end. So we're saving some ratings. We're giving it an 8.
That's fair.
All right. And then we have the most insane goal I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. The, like, second to last kick only because the ref refused to blow the whistle right after the goal.
Yep. And just Jossie's touch.
Jossie's touch.
Oh, my God.
Seba's shot with the outside of his foot like that, like on the half volley. What a banger.
Everyone is just so absolutely floored. Like, nobody, obviously they wanted it. And when they put 10 minutes up, both me and Mike looked at each other and we were like, there's going to be another goal. We didn't
know
who it was going to be for, but there was going to be another goal. And seeing in the last second, like, watching them all lose their freaking minds.
I have a question about this celebration.
Yeah.
When he wheels away, is he holding his shirt out like he's Superman?
Ooh.
Like it's a cape fluttering behind him?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he pulling it tight so that you can read his name?
I read it as pulling it tight to read his name. And okay. I like that.
Okay.
Because we want to know who he is.
We know who he is. He
but
wants
we want everyone
else
to know
that's
who
right.
he is. Yeah. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. It's our first win ever against San Jose.
Yeah.
That's a 9 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
All day.
I still am...
Emotional.
Oh, yeah. All right. You want to hit some of these social media standouts?
You know I do. We got to get this show wrapped up here. Y'all have gotten 2 dogs, an armadillo, and a match preview.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do these fast. I want to congratulate Jossie on 300 MLS appearances. I think that's rad. I love seeing him with his whole family out there.
Yeah, I do wish that we had gotten the little, front yard decoration like we did when he scored his 100th goal. I don't mean to, you know, suggest that his wife should have done that for him, but it would have been nice.
You know.
That's all.
That's all. We got some story of the match.
Yeah, remember these?
Content.
I had forgotten these happened.
I also did.
So when we win, the media team puts out a cool story of the match highlight video for the wins that's supposed to get you pumped up and feel good. It worked.
Yeah, it worked. And also, a lot more players. I know we mentioned last time that a lot of the players had been quiet on social media for obvious reasons. And just seeing them like sharing out practice pictures and commenting on each other's stuff, they're getting a little bit of that like public joy back. And I am here for it.
Yeah, I love and will always be a fan of Danny Pereira and John Gallagher giving each other so much crap for not tagging each other in their photos. And they will tag every single other person in the photo. If there's somebody in the background,
they will,
blurry, they're getting tagged, but not each other.
I love it.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Last Sunday, there was a laundry project donation drop-off that Brad was at, and he brought his sweet angel dog, Pippa.
So much smaller in real life.
What a great dog.
Yes.
I love that dog.
Like, I thought for sure that dog was going to stand a little bit taller. Very tiny, very cute.
Very, very cute. Also, thank you so much to Brad and Carrie and Brad and Ashley and everyone involved, the Fighting Leslies who dropped off literal truckloads of laundry supplies.
And everybody else that isn't the Fighting Leslies who also dropped off so many laundry supplies. What an incredible experience and like event.
The folks at the Sourdough Project who had sourdough crackers. And I think here's a secret.
The best brownie of all time.
I don't like brownies. I just don't love chocolate baked goods. And I think they're usually super dense and like, I'm just not into them. This brownie, y'all, this was the lightest, also chocolatiest brownie I've ever tasted. And it was unreal.
Yeah, I literally don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
I don't want to know either. It's like Wi-Fi, right? Where it works. It's magic. I'm happy that it exists. I don't need to know the secret. I just every day live in awe of how good that brownie is.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
But yeah, thank you to them for supporting the Laundry Project and for handing out some amazing crackers and amazing brownies.
We did get Swoon Tower news at this event, though.
Yes, we did.
We learned that Bradley Scott Stuver.
Is that his middle name?
Yeah.
Oh.
Does not receive an outfield player jersey for free.
Yeah. So here's the thing, y'all. Should we get him one? Should we get him one of those armadillo kits? Put Swoon Tower on the back?
Yeah,
Swoon Tower 24.
I don't know that we should buy him one. He just got he got a raise.
I'm just saying, like, all of us collectively. Should we all?
Absolutely not. He just got a raise. Like, good for him. He can buy himself a jersey. Wait,
do something nice for Brad.
Brad, if you're listening, what name would you get on the back of your armadillo kit?
Probably Swoon Tower. If I'm just thinking
you don't think he'd get Julio?
Oh, that would be so nice. Speaking of Julio.
Man of your jersey?
No, I do want to call out that Julio did an interview with Michelle Sanchez. It was amazing. It was really great to get to hear him talk about
his journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seeing where he started and where he's gotten to. It's so cool. And for someone who doesn't do a lot of kind of public interviews, it was so great to see him sit down with Michelle and give her his time. I loved it.
Yeah. For my Duolingo peeps, Michelle has done an incredible job of putting the English subtitles under the video that is recorded entirely in Spanish. Also, both of their Spanish is super clear and easy to understand, so highly recommend it if you are learning Spanish, if you are Spanish curious, if you are just Julio curious. This is great content, and I highly recommend it.
Julio curious is like going in a bio of mine. I don't know where, but...
speaking of
We're at the man of my jersey. It's not Julio.
Wow.
I thought I should start keeping track, yeah, but I already forget who I put for... I'll just have to go back and listen. Someone can tell me. But the man of my jersey this week is actually Owen Wolf. I think that Owen has been playing so well. And I know that Owen especially has been the target of a lot of disgruntledness, just because of who his father is. And I think that separating that from like watching him play, I've seen so much energy and so much fight from him in the past couple of weeks. And I've been really, really impressed with what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I really hope, like, this is obviously the very, very start of his career, but I hope that he kind of sees these players around him and how they engage with the community and how they engage with the fans and how they engage in social media and all of that stuff. He has some really, really great role models to look up to. And I hope that he absorbs a lot of that and really takes it and becomes the great player that we know he is on the pitch, off the pitch as well.
Yeah.
After prom.
Yeah, after prom. Do you think...
prom, then good stuff.
I wish he had gotten a prom.
Me too. Should we throw him a prom? We'll get Brad a jersey and we'll throw Owen a prom.
Oh, boy.
Y'all, that's it. That's it for us tonight. I know it's been a long one, but we appreciate you sticking around with us. We love you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.